spicy this morning. You know that song, the more we sing it, the more I go along. I'm realizing that there's a lot of people that sing that song don't really mean it. To be like Jesus is simply the hardest thing a human being is ever going to do. Because it takes death to self. And that's the hardest thing to do, is for us to die. But there are people here who fully sing it for all it's worth and mean every word of it, because they're willing, the day of battle, to die to themselves. I'm one, and some of you are too. And that means we're all going in a rapture one day. Isn't that amazing? Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can come here and gather together again, Lord, in this appointed time and place, Lord. And you said, well, you gather us together, you'll be in our midst. And Lord, we believe that. We're going to take you at your word this morning and expecting to hear from you and to see your works and to see Christ among us. Lord, we believe that this is the word you have for us today. This is what your perfect will is for us right now, Lord. So I ask that you would just come as you promised to do, and make yourself known among us again, Lord Jesus. Help us to walk from here stronger Christians. Help us to walk from here with our heart settled, more settled, our mind settled, everything, Lord, just at peace between you and us. And though the world and whoever else would assail us and attack us and whatever happens, Lord, when we have peace with you, Lord, then life is worth living. Lord, we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, amen. If you're going to turn in your Bibles, we're going to read from Revelation 10. I'm sorry, we're going to read from Revelation 22:10. Last Thursday, we spoke on the thought of the time is at hand, and we're just going to continue with that thought this morning, Lord willing, if he doesn't change thought. Revelation 22:10 says, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. If you want to turn, we're going to read out of Revelation. We're going to read about four or five scriptures here right off the bat. In Revelation 10:1, and it says, and you could probably quote this by heart, it says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was as were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He said, and he had in his hand a little book open. He had set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write and heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So we look here, and we know this very well. Let me just rehearse it to you again to get us on the same page. We saw that a mighty angel come down. It was Christ himself. He had a little book, and he said it was open. How did it get open? Because they walked through all. They said there's a book, but it's sealed. And all it was a book of redemption. As long as it was sealed, no one was going to be saved. They looked for someone who was worthy to open the book, to take it, even worthy to look on it. And no one was found until they found the Lamb, and he came forth, and he took the book. And now after that, it's time to reveal this. It's time to come down. And he comes down with the open hand, and the book is opened in his hand. And he cries with a loud voice. It's the voice of God crying. But when it did, it's seven thunders out of the voice. And John was going to write it down. He said, no, don't write it down. Seal it up. Because even though that book had been opened in heaven, it wasn't time on earth to seal it up. And we recognize what Brother Branham said, because that way Satan can't get in and cause great damage. It had to be a secret all the way down through the church ages. It had to be a secret so Satan couldn't get in there and do more damage than he did. He already took this word. He did so much damage. Look at all the mess he's done. Look at the millions of people were killed in the name of Christ. Look at all the denominations that rose up and caused a division and strife and all this stuff, because Satan got into the word and got into the churches and done all this damage, but he couldn't know what was in that book because it had been sealed up clear back then. But then there was a time, and the Spirit said, but now the time is at hand. And he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mystery should be made known. My, what a time we live. What a time we live. But that happened. It happened. The messenger came and he said that lamb handed him, that gave him that book, and he handed it down and he preached it. And we saw the preaching of the word and the preaching of the opening of the seals, and we saw it, but it was still in word form. And the spoken word is the original seed. And that seed had to be planted and it had to bring forth. Oh man, I'm having trouble holding still right now, folks. That seed had to be planted, and it was planted in what? The hearts of believers. Not everyone who calls himself a message believer, but those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, and they heard the voice of God speaking. And it wasn't just an education. It wasn't just Brother Branham said, but it was the voice of God speaking to them. And they had eyes to see, and they recognized, this is Christ. This is the word happening. And they looked and they said, it's so simple. How could it be? It's too simple. But then you read in the Bible, it says, oh, but it was silence when this happened. It was quiet. And it was like a thief in the night. And it was like Brother Randall taught, like Romeo and Juliet, when he came and he steals away without anyone knowing. And then we said, oh, now I understand why it's so simple. Because it was a great thing, like when the prophet was here, the light shined from east to west. It was like that. Everyone would see it. But no one sees it. Right. Except the one who he came to get. She's the only one who knows. She's the only one who sees it. She's the only one that the secret is revealed to. You can have a church full of message believers, but one here and one there and one there. Oh my. And at the end of the book, he says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. Because there's a time for a sealing. There's a time for an unsealing. And there's a time for a manifestation. And the time is at hand. We're here. Brother Phil, this was written a couple thousand years ago. Yep. That ain't nothing. Let's go a little before that. Let's go several thousand years before that. Let's turn to Zechariah 14, whenever, I don't know, maybe it was 2500, I don't know when it is, it doesn't matter. But Zechariah 14, we're going to look back here and see the time is at hand. We're going to see what the Old Testament prophets were talking about today. Zechariah 14, 6, you know this. He said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. So it's a cloudy day. And the sun is up there, but the clouds are blocking it. And so it's daylight. It's like going out on a cloudy day when, you know, it's, you know, overcast and all that. It's daytime. You know it's daytime. But the sun can't shine through in its full brilliance because there's too many clouds. That's what this is talking about. It's a day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. What is it? It's the church ages. Satan got into the word and to the churches, and he twisted it and he hybrid the word. So all you could do is produce denominational Christians. And they had truth, but it was mixed with a lot of error. And God, Brother Branham said something like, he said, God blinked at their ignorance. He winked at their ignorance. He allowed them. They were still saved. They still had the Holy Ghost. But it was so twisted up with all man-made doctrines. And we all know the story, you know, how the church age, how the Reformation came and Luther came and brought some light, and Wesley came and brought more light, and Pentecost brought more light. Verse 7 says, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. We're the evening time. If you don't believe this is the evening time of the Gentile age, if you don't believe this is evening time of this world, the cosmos, the way things are, go and look around a little bit. For the last couple hundred years, brothers and sisters, the United States of America has been the shining light, the one thing that kept this world sane. It kept communism at bay. It kept socialism at bay. It kept fascism at bay. It kept all this heathenism at bay. It fights against ISIS and all these kind of people. United States have been the leader, and God has used us to keep the world semi-sane. What if we hadn't been around? Where would the world be right now? Look at history a little bit. Well, folks, we have lost our mind now too. Just look at the politics. Just look what's going on. We have lost them. Look at our social life. Look at our morals. There are no morals anymore. It's the evening time. And at evening time, it shall be light. What is it light? Go back and read this. Go back to Revelation 10. It says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. It was time. It says there's no more saving. There's no more losing. Everything is done. But then he says, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his own work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so the light that we was back at Pentecost is the same light that shows in the evening time. After the church ages are passed, the seals are opened, and that light shines one more time. You say, well, it shined through Brother Branham. No, that was just the chief wave. That was just showing what the rest, that was the maturity that the rest of the field had to come to, folks. That means us. That same maturity. We have to come to that character, that Brother Branham. Don't say, well, we're all going to be prophets and do what Brother Branham. No, we are not. He had gifts of being a prophet, and he was a messenger. We are the ones who take the word he preached and produce Christ in our age for the measure that we're supposed to. Make sense? Let me show you one more thing real quick before we go back to the Old Testament. Over in Peter, 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he said he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Brother Branham said, when you're born again, everything you have need is in you, including the rapture, because that's a seed of God that came to life, and it's a part of God in there. What more do you need? Amen. But you don't have it all manifest. It's not all expressing itself right away because we're born a baby, so we have to grow into it. And Peter says this, whereby are given us great unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we need to be a partakers of the same divine nature, the same nature that was in Jesus Christ when it's birthed in you, and when you go through this maturing process until it comes to the point where you have the same light shining through you that was in Jesus Christ. You have to. And then he goes and tells us what it is. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're going to bring forth the fruit. And what's the last thing he said? Charity. Love. As you go through the statue of the perfect man, you start with faith, and it all ends up here at the very top in perfect love. That's the divine nature. That's the main thing that must be on display in our life. I have a whole message to preach on love. I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm going to try to stay away from it because it's just hounding me right now. But we have to have love, folks. And it's not human love. It's not you going around, well, I'm going to love everybody. No. It's like Brother Brand said, it's like this. It's like he talked about that spring, water springing up. He talked to, why are you so happy? He said, it's not me. It's something inside me just keeps pushing. That's what we must do. Because if it's us just loving, I'm going to love Brother Gene. I'm going to love Brother Wayne. I'm going to do something nice for Brother Wayne. If that's just in your own ability, your own thought, and your own human love, that's wonderful. Love them all you can. But that's not what's going to get it. Because you can do all that thing, but Paul said in Corinthians, you can have all those things, all that religious stuff, and not without agape love, you're still nothing. That's what we need. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. I'm going to go to Isaiah 60. I'll just read it to you. He said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Brother Branham preached this message. He said, was it Shalom? Is that what he called it? Man, I should know that. Anyways, he said, he used the scripture, "Arise, shine." He said, "Yeah, there's a new day dawn. It's the dawning of a new day." What is it? It was an evening time where there was light, and that took us out. That light actually took us out of the, spiritually, out of the Laodicean age, and we were birthed into the bright age, the eighth day. It's a new day. We stepped into eternity. That's exactly where we're at. For the bride, we are in eternity. We have stepped into that bright age. We're no longer spiritually in Laodicea. We are now in a new age. But it's only for the bride. The rest of the world, I'm talking about the message-believing world, they don't see it. My. It said, "Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people." They're blinded and... And how many message preachers are blinding these people? Go online sometime if you want to and listen to some of the preaching, message preachers. Oh my goodness. Young guys. They can preach the house down. They're amazing. I look at that and I say, man, I never want to get in a pulpit anymore. It's embarrassing. They can preach so well, and they can bring so many wonderful things, but then you see the effect of what they're saying, and you listen for the voice of God, and you're listening for what they're really saying, and you recognize they're telling us, be a good person, believe the message, you go in the rapture, make sure you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Folks, we need to be seeing the word that was prophesied for our day. You say, well, those things are all true. They are all true. You have to have all that. But it's got to be something more than just you doing this and you doing that. It's got to be something more. It's got to be a reality where the word for your day is producing the same divine nature as producing the word for this day. You say, Phil, you're confusing me. No, you're not confused. You know what I'm talking about. And people love that. They're not bringing... The chastening. They're not getting down into that their spirit realm and discerning between the soul and the spirit. And they're preaching a feeling and an emotion and anointing. They're not hurting anyone's feelings very much either. They're not destroying the idols in their lives, their religious idols. Well, I know I'm a good, I know I'm a Christian because I've done this or I've done that. But is it Christ? Let me go on. I got something to get to. Hosea 6:1 says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning." Here we got morning again. "And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain into the earth." And that's right. So we see this. This is talking about after 2 days, on the third day, he'll raise us up. What is a day? In the eyes of the Lord is 1,000 years, right? So 2 days, 2,000 years worth of church ages. But in the third day, it's 2018, folks. We're in the third day. This is the third millennium. He said, he'll rise us up. He'll come to us like the morning. He's going to bring the former latter rain. What is that? That's the teaching rain, and it's the producing rain. And it brings the word. The word is preached, and it's the seed is planted, and then it brings forth that seed. These prophets, thousands of years ago, were talking about us. It just goes over the top of our head. Well, yeah, Brother Phil, we've heard this all before. I know, but is it just a doctrine you believe, or is it something that you're experiencing? Is this something that's actually happening through you? And you look at that and say, this is me? Brother Branham said something like this. Jesus looked in the scripture, saw who he was, and went out and fulfilled the scripture written about him. He said, we must do the same thing. We must be walking in the light of today. We must have seen the light in the evening time and come to it, and not just seen the light and say, oh, we have a great light, but let it have the effect in me that was supposed to have and produce us, brought us into a new day, a new age. Here we are. We've been birthed by the word into the bright age. We're here at the evening time of the world. To us, we've already stepped into eternity, into the eighth day, spiritually. He said, well, Brother Phil, then what's required? Just to know this? Because you can talk to most message believers, they'll tell you this. They all know this. I'm not preaching anything that you haven't heard how many times. Is it just be educated to know this, to know the prophet said it, to recognize where we are? Is it just a baptism? Brother Branham told us what's required. Let me just jump right into it. Exodus 12:8, he said, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. What's this talking about? Israel coming out of Egypt. Right? The night they were coming out. He said, eat not of it raw, nor sodden, not all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing remain of it until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. This is the attitude, brother and sister, they had to have. Is they got their staff in their hand, they're dressed, they got their bags packed, they're ready to go, and they're eating this last Passover. Or the first Passover, actually. They're eating the Lord's Passover. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So they had to take this lamb, they had to take the blood, and they put it on their doorposts and their lentils. So when you walk back past the door, you can look in there and you see there's blood on that door. They must be the Jews, they're getting, or Israel, they must be getting ready to leave. Brother Brandon preached token. He said that was a token. The blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He said we also must have a token. This is what he said. The lamb was killed in the evening time after being kept up for 14 days. And then the lamb was killed and the blood was applied in the evening time. You get it? The token never came into existence until the evening time. My. It wasn't even available before that. The people didn't even know about it. It was right when they're getting ready to leave and Moses told them about a token. The token never come into existence until the evening time. And this is the evening time of the age that we live in. This is the evening time of the church. This is the evening time for me. It's the evening time of my message. I'm dying. I'm going. I'm moving out in the evening time of the gospel. The token for us was only available in the evening time. What is the token? Brother Branham said, you must be born again. You have to have the Spirit, the life of Christ in you, just on display. He said, you can't, you know, they could have killed the lamb and took the blood and put it in a bucket and just set it inside the door. He said, we got the token, right here it is. If it's not on display, they would have died. People claim to have the Holy Ghost, but it's not on display much. It's got to be. You got to go through this process of going through the stature of a perfect man till you get to the place where that divine love is on display in your life with everything else, but it's capped off with love. That's what does it, folks. Brother Branham, he was talking about going beyond the curtain of time, a different place. He said, divine love is the only thing that will get there. So whatever else our confidence is in, if it's not love, folks, there's something wrong. We're going to come up missing. It's only available to the bride today. They without us cannot be made perfect. We are the one who brings to bring the headstone down so it's one whole body together. But that only comes down and sits on love. Love coming down and sitting on love. I'm preaching my other message about love, ain't I? Can't get it off my heart. The literal life of Christ are the only ones going in the rapture. It's the Word made manifest, made flesh. It's Christ. Let me read something Brother Branham said. This is kind of a long quote. I'll read this and I should be done. He said, as we see, he preached this in token. As we see the great ensign of the time at hand, warning us, the time is at hand. Oh, take this solemnly. This is our prophet warning us. He said, take this solemnly. We should love one another. Think about it. He's preaching the token. And he says, take this solemnly. And the first thing he said, the time is at hand. And the first thing he says is we should love one another. He didn't say we need to understand the mysteries. He didn't understand we don't have to live a certain kind of lifestyle. He didn't say we had to go to church a certain way. We had to belong to a certain church or any of this other religion. He said, we should love one another. That's the main thing. Why? Because we come to that maturity. We come to that point where the divine love comes down and sets on divine love and the whole body is in one. We should love one another. Oh my, we should be so in love. That's what's required. He said, don't never speak evil against one another. Don't never speak evil against one another. If somebody makes a mistake, call someone on the phone and let them know how bad that person is. If somebody makes a mistake, make sure everyone in the church knows, because that makes everyone else feel better about themselves, because you can look down on that person and say, well, at least I didn't do that. He said this, if somebody makes a mistake, pray for him. Right quick. Think about it. Pray for him right quick. We are together in this with God. Look around. We got what? Dozen people or less in here today? If we ain't going to stick together, we ain't got a lot of numbers here, folks. We need to stick together anyway. Numbers didn't matter anyway. But brother, sister, the world is tearing up at you so hard. The world is trying to get you down, trying to get you defeated, trying to get you dejected, trying to get you discouraged, doing all it can. And if we can't hold together, then we are definitely going to be separated by the devil. And if we're separated off, I'm off here to my own self and you're off here to your own self, we are way weaker than if we are as one body. We are brothers and sisters. Live godly. Live like daughters of God, like sons of God. Live sweet, kind, and humble. Sweet, kind, and humble. But Brother Phil, tell us how we're going to know how do we know for sure that we're going in the rapture? How do we know the token's on display? Well, do you love everyone? Do you live sweet, kind, and humble? Well, I try. Are you missing it? He didn't say try. It's got to be that spring coming up automatically. Now, there's going to be time. Look, the trying is dying to yourself, folks. Because sometimes I just want to tell Brother Paul off. You know what I mean, Brother Jimmy? Absolutely. We all do. Because he frustrates me. He irritates me. I'm just playing, Brother Paul. But what does he need? He needs to see the love of God. Well, he's making mistakes. He's doing something wrong. Well, what does he need? Love. He needs prayer. He needs encouragement. It's one thing I've seen Brother Jerry do When someone stumbles, he's always encouraging. He's never running them down. He's never discouraging them. Well, my goodness, I can't believe you did that. It'll bring chastening as needed. Let no evil come in your mind, in your thinking. Just dismiss it. If it knocks on the door, take it away. Just show your token. Keep walking. I'm under the blood. He said, death is in the land tonight. Judgment is waiting. She's pinning atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs and all kinds of disasters waiting for the nations. And God is moving his church and showing all. We've been keeping the Lamb up for now quite a while, watching, seeing what he's doing, watching his nature and everything. But now the token's got to be applied. Did you see what he said? Watching his nature. Why did he come and do? Why did he manifest himself through the prophet the way he did? So we would recognize the nature of God. So we'd recognize what was Christ and what wasn't. He said God is known by his characteristics, and we have to recognize the characteristics of God so we know what we're following. So when the voice speaks, we recognize, is that the voice of God or is it the voice of the devil? Because Satan sounds a lot like God sometimes. He gets you thinking all kinds of crazy stuff, and he brings some scripture to you. He brings some quote or something the preacher said, and next thing you know, you're over here. I wonder about this. I wonder if that, you know, maybe I should do that. And that's why we see so much junk around the message, because people cannot tell the difference. They don't have ears to hear. They just hear a voice, and so they follow it because it's supernatural, because it's anointed. We need to know his nature so we can have that divine nature, recognize it when it's in us and when it's not. The token's got to be applied. It's got to be applied. It's the only thing. Except a man be born of the Spirit and of water, he will in no wise enter in. He said, you should love one another. Here he goes again. You should love one another. Believers should separate themselves from the world. Don't just take it now lightly. You listening out on the tape, you women, you men, you listen a minute. If you ever believe me, you believe me. Now it's time to quit fussing with one another. Didn't Brother Jerry just preach on this a couple weeks ago? Well, no, it's last time. I don't know why he preached on last Sunday so much, but a couple weeks ago he preached on this. But wow, same Holy Spirit, I guess. Quit fussing with one another. It's not love. Believe the message of the Bible. Believe Jesus and love and honor and respect one another. He goes back to again, love, honor, and respect one another. John, in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, what was his whole theme of that? Love one another. Love one another. What if they're wrong? Well, then, of course, you don't have to love them. Who needs love more, those who are right or those who are wrong? Think about it, folks. Who needs the love of God shown to them more? Someone who's born again or someone who's still a sinner? Someone who's doing wrong or someone who's doing right? Men, respect your wives. Respect your home. Bring your home together. The lamb was for the home, not just one. The whole home had to be brought. Everything had to be brought in. We should love each other. And believers should separate themselves from the world. What he just can't get off of it. He said we should love each other. He just constantly, over and over said, we have to love each other. It's got to be love. This is the token on display, the divine nature of perfect love manifesting through us. Wish I could jump onto my other message. My, it's just burning me up. But listen to this. There are some things that are not enough. A lot of message believers, they're going by certain things and they think because of this, they have the token on display and it's just not. And he said, notice, they were not just to come together to talk about the message. Fellowshipping around the message is not enough. Talking about what Brother Branham said is not enough. Trading quotes is not enough. Well, Brother Branham said this, and he said this, and preachers say this, and he said that. It don't matter. They come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. That's what you must do. That's what you must do. Apply the token. The life of Christ in you, through you, manifesting. And the only way you can do this is to be like Jesus. Die to yourself. and let him do it. The problem is we try to do it. We try to control situations. We try to defend ourselves. We try to protect ourselves and control situations we don't like because we don't want to get hurt anymore. Love hurts. Love makes you vulnerable. But there's something to that. That is the most powerful thing because, I keep getting off on this other thing. Let me just real quick. When divine love takes over, sovereign grace is projected and it takes control. And then no matter what happens, you're okay. You say, well, what if they shoot me? I die happy. What if I get run over by a train? I die happy. Or what if someone says horrible things about me? I just pray for them and love them anyways. Why? Because perfect love is in control. Pastor Neville, to this congregation, trustees, deacons, you brethren, it's time we laid aside all the foolishness of the world. Time we laid everything aside. We've seen enough now that we're positive, sure, the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That's the only thing. Don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How do you do it? By one spirit, we're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. He was not responsible for any out from beneath it. It's not just enough to say, believe it. How many message believers, their confidence in, I believe the message. I believe it's true. He said, it's not enough just to believe it. But you believe, get beneath it. Israel didn't come together and say, let's all go over to Goshen today. We'll drive up to Goshen. You get on your camel, we'll take the ox cart. We'll take the Joneses over here and the Goldbergs. We'll go up to Goshen. You know what? Moses is going to speak today. How many message believers? That's what their confidence in. I go to church and I listen to tapes. I listen to the prophet. That's the same thing he's talking about. Let's go hear the prophet speak. And that's their confidence that they're a believer and they have the token. He said, Moses is going to speak today. That wasn't it. No, sir, brother. It's not enough just to hear the preaching. It's not enough just to hear the prophet. What effect is it having in us? He said, it's get beneath the blood. Yes, indeed, not to talk about it. Just get into it. All the fellowship in the world doesn't do a thing. All the preaching doesn't do a good thing. If we don't hear the voice of God taking that word and making it real in us, we're going to miss the rapture. You're going to perish. One of them said, you know, Mr. Goldberg, I actually know that's the truth. Yes, brother, I believe it's the truth. I know it's the truth. Mr. Levinsky, what do you think about it? It is absolutely the truth. I seen the power of Jehovah God speaking. I seen those frogs come out of that land. I know that it didn't happen until he said it. I know that's Jehovah God. Well, I know that's brother, that's God speaking to Brother Jerry. That's God speaking to Brother Phil. I've seen signs and wonders in the church. I believe it's all true. Are you circumcised? Yes, sir. Are you a believer? Yes, sir. And then when he heard Pastor Moses speak that day, he said, but you've got to get beneath the blood, for God said the blood is a token. No matter how much you believed, how much you're circumcised, it's a sign of your holiness living, no matter how holy you live, that's a covenant God gave to Abraham so forth. That is a covenant, but you got to get beneath the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass. Israelite or any, that's denomination, non-denomination, either one, you must come beneath the blood. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, non-denomination, message believers, whatever you are, it's for an individual. You got to get beneath the blood. Don't just talk about it, receive it. Hear me, in the name of the Lord, hear me. Oh my goodness, he will not stop. He's trying to get the point across. You've got to have the token. Don't use any other kind of evidence that you're good, that you're born again, that you're going in the rapture. You've got to have the token, and your prophet was laying it in there as hard as he could. how many times, how many churches you can go to, how many preachers will bring some other evidence that says, well, if you do this or you have that or you believe that, you're good to go. They're lying. Whatever you are, it's for an individual. You've got to come beneath the blood. It's for an individual. It's not everyone in the church. It's not everyone in your family. If you look at your family and you say, you know what? They're a good message believer, but they're not born again. Because they will have the wrong attitude. They're doing this wrong. There's something wrong. You can just see that you can, you know, for whatever. Say, well, I want to stick with them. You got to cut it free. I don't care if everyone in your family turns and walks away. I don't care if anyone in the family tells you you're crazy. It doesn't matter if everyone in your family does whatever they're going to do and they reject you and think you're acting crazy or whatever. I'm a message believer. I'm just as good as you are. If that's an attitude someone has, there's a good chance they're not born again, folks. What do you mean you're as good as somebody else? That's not, doesn't have anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. I don't care how good you live. You've got to have the token. Divine love crowning your life. Got to come beneath the blood. He was not responsible for any person from beneath the blood. God made it clear, all from under the blood would perish. May I use his words, all outside of Christ will perish. What does it mean, he says, not responsible for any person from beneath the blood? He's talking about all the people who are going to try to go in the rapture with some other kind of token, some other kind of evidence. Well, here's my token. Well, here's my token. Well, I do this. This is my token. He's not responsible except for his word. He's only responsible for his word, and what he wants us to do is take him at his word and say, God, you promised. This is your word. You promised. This is my sacrifice. This is what I'm offering. It's got to be his word, not our idea, not our word, not someone else's sensation or whatever else. Let me go ahead and finish here. If an angel from heaven preaches anything else, said Paul, let him be accursed. That's the message. Come into Christ. He just won't quit. He said, look, any person outside the token, God is not responsible. God is not responsible for any person, big or small, popular or unpopular, rich or poor, bond or free, male or female. He's not responsible for anybody that's from under the token covenant. He's not responsible. Brother and sister, if the token's not displayed in our life, we are not going in the rapture. It's not going to happen. We'll be here in a tribulation period wondering what happened. You say, Lord, I did this. I cast out devils. I preached the gospel. Depart from me, you that work in iniquity. I never knew you. He said he only recognizes a token. Do you see it? Say amen. So now it's upon you. He put it on you. He said, I was sitting there. He was hunting. He said, I didn't shoot a squirrel. What was the matter? See? He said, place it upon them. Upon them. It's in your lap. It's in yours. This isn't new. You've heard this how many times over the years? He won't recognize nothing but the covenant of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot receive that covenant unless you are saved, sanctified, and baptized into the body. You might have an impersonation. You might feel good. Jump up and down, speak in tongues, dance in the Spirit. That don't have one thing to do with it. You hear what he said? You can have sensations, baptisms, dances, emotions, crying, all these wonderful things. It don't have one thing to do with it. Because I can speak from personal experience. I've had all that before I was ever born again. That don't have one thing to do with it. Hear it in the name of the Lord. God don't recognize that. Heathens do that and witches do that. You say, I'm a scholar. I do this, that, and that. He don't care how much scholar you are. The devil is too. He only recognizes the token. That's the message of the hour. That's the message of this day. That's the message of this time in the name of Jesus Christ. receive it. He went on to say, well, my mom is a sweet person. My boy is such a wonderful person. But what about you? Your sweet mama ain't going to save you. Your wonderful boy ain't going to save you. Well, my son's a preacher. That ain't going to save you. But this person, that doesn't matter. It's you, the individual. You must have it yourself. Say, well, Brother Phil, sometime I think I do, and then sometime I just do such horrible things, or I feel so bad, whatever. That's just because we're human beings. We're human beings. We make mistakes. And you know what you do when you make a mistake? You pray quickly, and you ask forgiveness, and you get up, and you keep pressing the battle. You know why? Because you see the evidence in parts of your life. You see a little bit here and a little bit there. And the more you walk, you see more evidence. You see more of it. And you see more less of yourself and more of Christ. And then God does something and he just blows your mind and says, oh my goodness, look what he just did. And then the next day you go and do something horrible. You say, how can that be going on? Because you're a human being. You're still subject to making mistakes. Do not be discouraged because of your mistakes. Just put it in God's hand and you keep walking. Because everything you have needed, including any holiness you need, any love, any faith, whatever, it's all birthed in you when you're born again. All you have to do is die and get out of the way. And all the people trying to discourage you, all your family trying to discourage you, and all the evidence that Satan will throw up at you and say, well, if this is right, why is that happening? Well, if this is right, why is that happening? Well, if this is right, why is that happening? And you look at all that and you say, that's just the devil. I'm looking at the promise. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take me through. Because if there's one thing I've learned, that Phil Bontrager is the weakest human being on earth. I can't accomplish anything. When I lean on my own ability, I totally fail. And that's good. Because all he's trying to do is find someone he can get in his hand completely. So surrender, he can take him in his hand and use him to manifest light. Isn't that exciting? What's my purpose in life? To manifest light. Nothing else matters. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you would come and encourage us and just lay it down so stern, Lord, that we know there's no shadow of doubt that we're not going to be talked into some other false kind of substitute. We're not going to accept something else that Satan would bring of some kind of fake something, whatever, but we're going to stay true to you until that token is so on display that there's no doubt whatsoever that we are who you say we are. We are who the Word says. We are that bride of Christ, and that rapture will come and change us one day. Lord, how we long for that time. No matter how wonderful life can be, how good it is, there's still always just a longing to come home. Lord, keep each one of us. Protect us. Watch over us. Lead us and guide us. And Lord, bring us to a place of surrender where you can have full preeminence in our lives. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Bless the ones who aren't here today. Keep them safe. Watch over them. Strengthen them, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen.